When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Shirtless, it's the Shirtless Plantain Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Shirtless Plantain Show. It's your host, Tosin, alongside Coach and Dean. Fellas, how's everyone doing today?
Viva la Turkey.
Respect it.
But I'm Nigerian.
I'm Mexican for today.
And I remain a man with no nation. But yeah, that was some fucking game, wasn't it? Yeah.
Like, boy, we were gonna...
Turkey brought the party to this competition, man. Fucking love them.
Yeah, we'll get to that Turkey game, but let's talk about the Netherlands and Romania. A guy named Cody is the top goal scorer outside of own goal. This is what our sport has become. A man named Cody is scoring the most goals. But jokes aside, man, there was a really good goal from Cody Gakpo. That first goal was, Hakpo, excuse me. Dean, let's talk about that game. What did you feel about it and the lineups and all of that? I know they started Steven Bergwijn, which is a shift, but...
Yeah, that was a bit of a surprise. I didn't expect that, but honestly, I don't care enough about the Dutch nowadays to expect anything from them. I was pretty convinced that Romania could do them in this game, and clearly Romania thought the same thing because the way they started that game, like a house on fire, just they set the traps, they pressed, they pinned Netherlands in for probably like a good 20 minutes, it felt like. Mm. And I was just looking at this game like, this is not my Holland. This is crazy to me. That thankfully, they weren't wearing orange because that would have made me even more depressed. They were wearing the away jersey, so that helped a little bit with the cognitive dissonance of watching Holland get dominated by Romania. That would even happen in the peak years of Romania when Georgi Hagi was playing for them. It was just a weird thing to witness. And as they say, goals change games. Cody Gakpo decided to do what he did today. You know, it's one of his trademark moves. I mean, if you ever watch any of his comps back when he was being linked to Premier League teams before he went to Liverpool, you see him cutting on that strong foot every time from the left flank and shoot it near post, far post. And this time he went near post. I hate to call a goalkeeper out. I tried to be very sympathetic towards him, but I thought he could have done better there. He got hands on it, so he probably could have turned around the post. He didn't do that. And essentially the game changed from that point.
Yeah.
It's if Holland remember who the hell they were. And a guy that was very impressive in that, in Holland's taking control of the game was your boy, Tijani Reinders, coach.
Oof. Yeah, I mean, I've liked him, to be honest. A lot of the good stuff, I feel like, you know, we saw Milan do this season. You know, like, Reinders had a part to play in that, I think. But today was probably the most I've been impressed with him. Because I always feel like it's hard to take control of international games, especially knockout games like that, and he looked so comfortable. Like, he looked like the most... Put it like this, everything Holland did came through him. Like, I would be very interested to see the pass map between him and Simmons, basically, see how many times he punched it into Simmons. But I know Schouten did a good job of that as well, but he really liberated them, and he looked like, if anybody was going to be part of a Dutch generation... kind of thing, midfielder. He looked like the one today. But yeah, I think there's, you know, there's probably a bit more to come from him as well. But yeah, he was the one that essentially turned the game around for Holland, because before then, they weren't really there much. And he really put his foot on the ball and said, all right, guys, let's stop fucking around there. You know? And the game turned around, man, for sure.
Coach, I have a question for you. How well did Xavi Simmons play today?
Do you know what? Yeah, he has this thing where he's like a little pit bull. He won't stop moving. If he's not getting the ball, he's not gonna just be like, guys, pass him the ball. He'll keep moving until he eventually gets the ball. And that does a couple of things, but one of them is that it's encouraging for his teammates because they know that, look, he's always gonna be an option, even if they don't find him. Because you've got players One second, sorry.
And this is
wildly unprofessional. I hate you. Yeah. I hate everything you stand for.
Yeah, unfortunately, my fiance is calling and I can't do anything about that, unfortunately. So.
Okay.
And then the opposition, should I say, sorry, they get a bit like, shit, is this guy ever going to stop running kind of thing? Like, okay, I'm going to pass him on to him. Okay, well, shit, he's gone here. I'm going to pass him back to you. Like, it's very much, you know, a balance in that. And I think that helped wrestle control for them as well. I'm still very much of the opinion. These boys are still too polite for me. But with that being said, you know, they did well today for sure.
You know, didn't do well. Memphis. I think they gotta just. I'm not a fan of Memphis as a nine. That's the nine. I just don't like it. Maybe I might be wrong. Dean, do you agree? Disagree?
I mostly agree with you. I think this is one of those things where I think coaches just have players. Yeah. You know, Ronald Koeman loves Memphis Depay. I don't really know why. I'm sure they've crossed each other's paths at the club level. I think he maybe played for him at Barcelona. Was he responsible for that, perhaps?
I don't know. Now I'm going to have to look. Keep talking. I'm going to look at that.
Yeah, but I think it's just one of those things where a player and a coach just really get along and he just trusts him. Because when you compare him to the alternatives, it's like, okay, who are you playing there over Memphis right now? Walt Weghorst is the guy that comes off the bench. And Joshua Zirkzee apparently has offended Ronald Koeman's ancestry. So he called him up, but he doesn't actually plan to use him at all. So Memphis it is. And today wasn't one of his more impressive appearances for Haaland, but I didn't think it was standout bad or anything. You can't really, it's hard to criticize individuals in a team that won 3-0, you know. I mean, like Daniel Malin came on and tried to steal the headlines at the end of the game by scoring two goals, but my abiding memory is basically his first action of the game where he came on for Bergwijn. Gets the ball on the break. They're running against, I think it's 3-on-3 against Romanian defenders, maybe even 3-on-2, perhaps. And all he has to do is play a simple pass, either right or left. He had both options available to him. And he ran it too far, then played the pass behind Cody Gakpo, and the chance disappeared. Yeah. And I'm thinking to myself, this is why you're where you are. You know, not that where you are is a bad thing. You made the Champions League final, right, with Dortmund. But even so, he's one of those players that's all instinct. Yeah. The minute he has to think,
big trouble.
It's over.
Is he bald on purpose or is he bald by life?
I assume it's on purpose, for sure.
No. He's bald.
He might look. He's in Germany now. There's a bunch of Turkish niggas there. Do you know what I'm saying? Before the end of the Euro, he might have a hairline again. Who knows?
You know, he might have braids.
Oh, yeah.
Listen. I told y'all, man, braids is the MVP of the tournament. Braids and own goal. Braids, MVP, and locks are the MVP of this tournament, man.
Special shout out for Denzel Dumfries, who I think was fantastic too.
Yeah, he was.
I'm always quite wary about exceedingly tall, wide defenders. Not a huge fan of them. Dan Byrne, you can go fuck yourself. But... Denzel Dumfries today was incredibly impressive as well. And I feel and this is why, if anybody's wondering, why Frimpong just doesn't play for them. That performance is why.
But also because Frimpong's not a right back. He's just a right. That's what he is.
This is it. But Dumfries gives it to you going both ways. Yeah, it's obvious Frimpong carries a bigger goal for it, but who cares? Like, really, who cares? You're there to primarily defend first and to provide width and provide to be a spare man in attack as well. Like, we don't need you controlling the game from the right-hand side like a Dani Alves. That's not your job, bro. And you're not even half as good. Yeah.
The funny thing about Dumfries is that he's not even that good a defender. No. He's just one of those players that I feel as if will seduce any coach. No. If you're choosing between Frimpong and Dumfries, like, you can't look at them side by side and pick Frimpong over Dumfries. If you want to defend. And it's not because he's a better technician defensively. He's just as absent-minded. He's just as upright. But he's big as hell. So you're not going to give up far post crosses unless he falls asleep, which he does for Inter every so often. But that's either here or there. In that period where they were getting killed in the first 20 minutes when Romania looked like they could have done something today, their only outlet was Dumfries. Yes. He was the one making all the runs. It wasn't really successful stuff, but he was at least making the runs and giving people an option to pass to. So he had a very good game. He also was the one that got in the challenge with Yanis Hagi.
Yeah.
And, you know, it was an accident, but he put the elbow in that dude's head and then he had a fishnet on his head and was looking stupid the rest of the game.
He had to
lost
wear
his swag, lost his baller capabilities, was terrible today. So.
He looked like he had a 5G on his head that Kerry Hilson used to cry about. That's what he had in his head. It looked bad. It looked really bad.
And I had the onion bag on his head. Yeah.
Alubosa. Is there anything that you guys want to say about Romania, positive, negative? I mean...
Okay. I'll say something positive. I'm not going to give them just credit for this, but I think most of the teams that we expected to go home early in this tournament, it came to this tournament and decided, you know what, we'll have a go.
Yeah.
And Romania were just as committed to that idea as anybody else in the tournament. And I respect it. I appreciate it. Because what's the point in showing up if you're not going to have fun? Yeah. You know, like, if you're a good enough team to defend and beat teams on the break, which is essentially what you're going to do anyway, you're going to get forced into doing that. Mm-hmm. Why not be expansive when you actually do have to and try to get the ball? And Romania did that. And again, I watched them pin the Netherlands in for 20 minutes. Like that's very surreal to me to think about, considering the level of talent between the countries, even right now with a very poor Dutch generation. So shout out to them.
Yeah. Coach, anything you want to add about Romania before we move on?
No, just shout out to them. They scored some of the best goals this tournament, man. And, you know, they've added to the spectacle. So shout out to them. And they didn't pussy out. They didn't, you know, do a Southgate and just say, you know, we're gonna have what we hold and shit. We're gonna turtle up. They went for it with lesser players, might add. So yeah.
I respect that. We had an instant classic in the second game. There's no two ways about it. That Turkey Austria game, that is why we watch football. That game right there was art. I had a fantastic time watching that game. Sorry, unfortunately, Ralf Ragnick has to go home. I wish they could take England's spot, but goddamn, we had a great time. Let's start off first of all by talking about braids. Marcelo, because you know that big hair, long hair, whatever. Marcel Sabitzer popped up to this game wearing number 9 and had braids. Okay. Usually, most times when I see a white man with braids, I get upset. But his braids were so pristine today that I'm not even mad at it. I was genuinely impressed. Like, I literally was on Instagram trying to figure out who braided this man's hair because I was confused. I was like, I went to David Alaba's sister's Instagram to see if she did it. That's how I was just to go look because I was confused.
I just want to make it very clear that I'm not involved in any of this anti-black conversation. Not with this shit. Like, when David Beckham did it, I didn't like that shit. Hey. That this nigga did it. I'm kidding. Those braids were immaculate, my nigga. God damn. That shit was clean. I was like, is that a white? Oh my God. Because when Darwin Nunez did it in Copa, it's like, yeah, you know, he one of them spicy. I mean, what are they? I don't know. He's spicy. So it's like,
he's cool, whatever. Chimchuri nigga.
Yeah. But an Austrian? An Austrian? Oh my God, you know. And remember, guys, I told you niggas a while ago. He's my low-key Ballon d'Or top 10 candidate, even though only one guy wins it. But I feel like he's going to sneak into the top 10 or some shit. He's had such a great season, and he had such a great tournament. And I guess he kind of had to, you know, stun on us one time. Like, he knows that he's having a good time. So he was like, let me show y'all how confident I'm feeling today. You know, so.
I know his scalp was burning, but...
No, for real. I knew nothing about hair, but I was like, shit, This is outstanding. I'm not joking, I probably spent about 5 minutes after I noticed, just looking on Twitter and whatnot at the different angles of it. Thinking, this shit is clean.
Like, bro, I was inspecting that shit. Like, wait, what? Like, them knots is tight. Like, you got the baby hairs is laid. Yeah. The lineup is right. Like, what the fuck is going on, man? They're taking everything from us, bro. Everything.
I'm going to text my lock lady and said, next time we get my hair retwisted, what is this?
If it's not on this level, I must get the refund. Oh, my goodness.
No, I'm going to someone else.
Seriously, he's going to be like the new Ludacris picture. That's terrifying.
We're going to go to Ibadan and see Marcel Sabitzer in Ibadan.
He's going to be in the barbershop. So we're going to go to the shop and be like, I want that one.
Yeah.
He's going to be next to the Obama haircut.
Yeah, we're going to put him next to Obama, JFK, and Jesus.
Jesus Christ. And that's how the game started. Like, Jesus Christ. Because what the hell? what we got, and Austria just immediately went like that. They attacked down. Yeah. Yeah.
57 seconds. That's insane.
Yeah.
I hadn't even switched the game on yet. Like, when I turned the game on, it was Mary Demiral, who apparently decided, you know what, Cristiano, let me show you how to be a main character without being an asshole. This dude was everywhere for 90 minutes. He was essentially the donor Thuram today. Like, you know, a defender that has never scored more than 2 goals in a season for any of his clubs. And he's now in Saudi. So that means he played for a bunch of clubs before he ended up in Saudi. And today he scored 2 goals. I mean, like, this is football heritage. You know, he took the baton from Thuram, yeah. You know. So game by him. The first thing I saw was his goal line clearance. Then I'm like, wow, what's going on? It's already 1-0. And he scored the goal as well. So, and you just could not stop hearing his name. He was amazing today.
Sharia law works.
Yeah. I mean, what was that game against? That was against Croatia, the two-round one, wasn't it?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, when he scored the 2 years.
So he's been studying the tapes because Croatia not hearing him. He's like, he probably looks at him, who's next? All right, it's Austria. Okay, cool. I'll turn up now. But I really like the fact that Montella, one of my favorite strikers growing up as well, found a way to play without someone who calls himself the best playmaker in the world. He's not, but he's one of the best last season, right? And they found a way. This Austria team, and correct me if I'm wrong, guys, because I've...
That's Hakan Çalhanoğlu, yeah. Right?
Yeah. They want to say they looked better without him, but they played so much more as a team. So much. He wasn't just the go-to pass. Like, they actually spread the ball out very much so. What was I going to say? The energy from Austria, correct me if I'm wrong, guys, but they didn't seem as energetic. Was that Turkey's handiwork, or was it just them running out of legs? Because they couldn't really get close to Turkey. Turkey were able to get out pretty easily. And I feel like one of their best outlets and one of their best players was Kadıoğlu. Like, you know, a right-footed wing back. Like, that boy is nice, man. Like, and he showed.
Yeah, I was just about to steal Tosin, so I was going to say that boy nice, because he, you know, like, I've seen him linked to Arsenal, so I've watched some tapes, and I'm like, I get it, but to see it for a full 90, to see a right-footed left back come all the way to the right to set the ball up for our dog, like, bro, he was very impressive.
I'm gonna give you
a lot of Turkish dudes went out there to down their score today, man. They outran. I mean, it was a home game.
Yeah.
Like, the whole stands were Turkey Turkey fans.
I'm gonna give you guys something funny about Ferdi Kagagu. You know where he's from? Where he was born?
Turkey.
He was born in Netherlands.
Oh, really?
He played until the Dutch U21s and switched to Turkey in 2022.
Nice.
Yeah,
I would say that's what explains his technique. But
yeah, he grew up NEC Brada, then he went to Fenerbahce U21, then he was at NSC, now he's back at Fenerbahce. So.
Nice.
And man, the Turkish men them travel everywhere. They take their kebabs and they just part shop, man. So shout out to them.
But yeah, look, again, and then you look at, I suppose, you look at how many players were on yellow cards, and, you know, there's 2 players for Turkey that are not playing. Like, both of their centre midfielders, they are not going to be available for the quarters. But that didn't stop them. Like, I can't really pick out. I think everyone was great for Turkey, but Mulder was great. Oh my gosh, their goalkeeper. Fuck, like.
That save? One of the greatest I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah.
Just given the timing, given everything, for you in the 95th minute, for you to put your hand up like that and just do that, I know that took the win out of everybody. Because I was sitting there, I was like, get the fuck out of here. There's no way you're doing that.
Do you know what it was? It was basically Pele versus Gordon Banks. That's what it was.
That's the one.
But do you know what? That impressed me. But way before that, his passing was pretty much like a prime, I don't know, Ronald Koeman. He was just sending the ball everywhere. I couldn't believe it, on a half volley, you know, like right onto a player's toe, like for the entire game. Like, that's part of the reason why I feel like Austria ran out of steam pretty quickly, because they'd push all the way up and he'd just pop it into space or right onto a player that's in space. And then they have to turn around and run back towards the own goal. And it kept on happening. And like, look, honestly, Montella hasn't impressed me that much. But I think today, his hand was forced and he was forced to coach. And I feel like this is probably the best game he's coached this entire tournament by far. Usher didn't really have much for them, you know?
Hey, I got something to add to that point about... Oh, go ahead, Dean. Go ahead.
No, I was going to say, it's not so much that they didn't have much because you'd have expected them to get closer to Turkey in open play. Yeah. And that's where they were lacking today. Yeah. Like you said, their legs weren't quite there, it looked like. Or Turkey at least just matched them and neutralized the whole energy advantage that they have. Even though they were in Leipzig with all the Red Bull and all that shit, you know, didn't work out for them today. But I think the masterstroke really was playing Arda Güler as a false nine.
Bro.
Like, I really enjoyed that. This was a full-on, you know, if you didn't know who he was already, I mean, he plays for Real Madrid. He won the Champions League this season, technically, you know. So, and every shot he took on target in La Liga this season went in the net. But today felt like a coming out party for him. You know, like this was the day he introduced himself to the world. And I guess the takeaway for me is that I never want to see him play on the flank again in my life. Every coach that managed, Carlo, please find a way to put this boy in the middle when you play him again. And if you can't, just play him. Because this is one of the keepers of the flame. For sure, for sure. He was magnificent today.
I'll give you guys a stat. Arda Güler is a third teenager to both score and assist in the same edition of Euros after Rooney and Cristiano in 04. This kid is... kid's the bee's knees, man.
That's all you need to know. That's all you need to know. Like, you look at the where those two players, done, what they've done with their career. Arda Güler is a lock. Like, he's a surefire as it's going to get. Like, the fact they didn't skip the Ozil comparisons, but Ozil comparisons didn't last long. They went to Messi soon off, not too long afterwards. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, and the fact he's playing a false nine already, you know, like, it's looking bright for him, you know. So I can't wait to see you at the Emirates in about 4 years when Real Madrid find somebody else. That'd be great. But no, shout out to him as well. Like, the maturity physically that he showed today, like, he wasn't afraid to take the ball on under immense pressure and tried to hold off tackles. Like, he was trying to match them physically, and obviously he's still a small boy, but that's good. That's a good sign that you're not afraid to get stuck in despite you being such an elegant footballer. That's great. We need, you know, all the great players from, you know, especially great technicians from years gone by. These guys were strong guys as well. Like Ronaldinho, people don't realize Ronaldinho was
an ox,
would walk on the pitch and he could arguably be the strongest guy on the pitch, but he wouldn't appear that way. You know, Riquelme was one of the greatest technicians ever, and nobody could knock him off the ball. Zidane, like, all these elegant, super elegant players kind of thing, they all had a physical presence about them. And I feel like Arda Güler, as he gets older, it's actually scary that what he could become.
I'm not saying he's all the way there yet, but he's clearly bigger now than he was when he joined.
Oh, no, of course.
He's been in the gym. Yeah. He's been in the gym. I was watching him next to the Austrian centre-backs. And you know how you can look at songs like, you know, and this is weird. I admit this right away, you know, this is weird. But you can look at songs like quad muscles and kind of judge him against the guy next to him to see who is the larger human being. I didn't see a lot of difference there. He was as big as those centre-backs.
And the thing is,
he's not as tall as them, but, you know, from a... Yeah. muscular standpoint, he's getting there already.
One of the center backs is a full-blown Ghanaian in Kevin Danso. And he ain't look nothing crazy. So it's wild, man. That kid is special. And his deliveries, man. Listen, those two corners he sent in. Listen, FedEx, Amazon Prime. I got you guys some perfect marketing strategy. Because those deliveries were stupid. Like, it was so pinpoint that Demiral couldn't even miss. Like, Demiral literally got two perfect balls to his head, Paul. And that was great. That was just...
But that was actually the story of the game when you think about it. Every goal came from a set piece, even Austria's goal. And every set piece felt like a moment of peril for the team defending. It was stressful.
It's the rain.
And if it didn't go in, it was like, someone's about to break on the other team. It was just a very intense game. It was very much like, it was like the quality version of USA versus Uruguay. Like, the intensity was directed towards the quality of the play as opposed to the quality of the tackles, because USA Uruguay was just violent, like, and that's probably a reflection of the quality of the referee, because one game had a good referee and one game had a bad referee. And it's crazy that a game this intense, we have nothing to say about Suarez. I think he's Portuguese, fantastic ref, managed this game very well. I mean, it was raining with two intense teams. Like, usually you get a red card in a game like this with this much intensity, and we didn't really get a whole lot of bad tackles or anything.
Yeah.
But I wanted to give a shout to Rangnick in general for Austria's performances in this tournament.
Hey, Dean, before you go on, make sure Michael Cox not listening.
Yeah, he was hating in that article. I loved it. I loved
it. He tweeted some afterwards today too.
we need more hate like that. We need more intellectually based hate.
His hate, listen, I have to read the tweet because that was some real good hate. He said, and I quote, let me find this. Great game tonight. Austria eliminated the same stage 3 years ago after spirited effort in the second half. A shame for neutrals, the kind of side you wish you want to stick around in the consultancy role.
That's good battle.
What a sassy British fuck. but I did want to give him credit for changing the game at halftime. You know, now the player he removed, Schmidt, got a yellow card already in the first half, so it was an easy decision to make. But he brought on Gregorich in the second half, and big man summer resumed, because that Gregorich motherfucker was huge. And literally his first touch was a shot on goal. Then Arnautovic got into the game as well. And Austria were able to sustain pressure for most of the game, really. Austria did. And one could argue they maybe deserve more from this game, but I mean, we're Team Turkey over here, for sure.
Gregorich is huge. He's 6'4".
Yeah.
There you go. So he definitely gave this Turkish center back something different to think about. But Mario Demiral and I think the other guy's name is Baldanza or some shit like that sounded mad Italian. I didn't look it up on purpose because I was like, that can't be right. But the first name is correct, but the last name is way too Italian.
It's very much Turkish.
Word?
Yeah, it's Bardarki, something like that. But it's just pronounced differently. But yeah, his first name is Abdul Karim. So
yeah, there you go. That's legit. That last name, I don't know.
No, it's got the special letters in it.
Yeah.
Trust.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
I'll be very real with you though. Like, he must have felt a way seeing Sabitzer's braids, and then had to look at his.
Yeah, but I do like seeing a coach realize that okay, we're about to be out of the tournament if we don't do something to change the way we're playing. And bringing on a player that actually changed the game instantly, you know, like even Southgate, who I'm subbing right now with this line of conversation, brought on Tony, and good things happened in that game, even though he brought him on for the last like 4 seconds of the game or whatever. So I hope that guy learned something from it. But if he doesn't, we'll be able to laugh at them on a future pod in the next 3 to 4 days or whatever it is, you know. So, but yeah, Turkey, man, I don't know. I think they've probably gotten as far as they're going to go in this competition. I think they're going to lose at the next stop, but because they can't defend. They cannot defend. I mean, we just praise our goalkeeper for pulling a fucking Gordon Banks. Yeah. If your goalkeeper needs to do a Gordon Banks, then it's not looking spicy for the defense right there, even though Demiral was a player of the game.
Yeah, but I think the good thing that's on their side is that they're a young team. They're like an exceptionally young team, actually, especially for international level. And they've been one of the most exciting teams to watch. I wouldn't say they're the most exciting team to watch, but they've been, I'd probably say they're in the top four, top five, you know, most entertaining teams.
Brother, we watched the top two play each other today.
Yeah, pretty much. I'm not mad at that.
Most entertaining teams in this competition, I think. Like, who else? Yeah. Who else?
I can't lie to you. I've had a blast watching Spain as well, to be fair.
They've just been really fucking
good. Yeah. I could have loved watching them. I got that.
Yeah, you're right.
For sure.
You're
right. Yeah.
Austria deserves their flowers, man. They did a great. They entertained us a lot in this tournament. Did not expect them to do this well. So shout out to Ralph. I know some people don't like him, especially United fans, but grow up. Did well. He did very well. So Austria, unfortunately, your time has ended. Let's talk about the quarterfinals. We have Spain, Germany on Friday. Portugal, France on Friday, England, Switzerland Saturday, Netherlands, Turkey on Saturday. Those are some.
Oh, Netherlands, Turkey. That's mad immigration. That's an immigration derby right there. Another home game for Turkey for sure.
Mm-hmm. I'm going Turkey, man. I think Turkey beat them.
I mean, you have to, man. This is not a real Dutch team. Like, I think the Dutch need
more vans.
They need like two vans in midfield for me to kind of get back into them. And they need to play 4-3-3. I'm tired of this shit. I don't like this, whatever the fuck they're doing. I don't like it. Spain, Germany, that's a shame. I kind of feel like we need that as a semifinal or a final as opposed to a quarterfinal. But this is luck of the draw. France, Portugal. Coach, what you think's happening in that one?
I think France do them, to be honest. But
easy.
Yeah. I think France beat them, man. I think Pepe, like, the football has left Pepe, guys. Like, it's okay to admit, like, the football has left Pepe, and I just think all Mbappe needs is one run at him. I think Mbappe just needs one run at him, and yeah. I think the most interesting thing, knowing that they're gonna play Pepe and play Ruben Dias, not a huge fan of Ruben Dias, to be honest. What front line Deschamps goes with? Does he still go with a more physical number nine, or does he try and play with more mobile front line? Because I think, pardon, sorry?
Go Bradley, Mbappe, and Dembele.
Yeah, I think, yeah, but even then,
you can't go wrong.
You can't go wrong, to be honest. You can't go wrong. Yeah, even Rwanda, Congo, Malawi, like, I'm sure you'll find a way for sure. So,
Coach, you forgot a really good matchup in that game. Bless you, by the way. Homelando against Saliba.
Oh, yeah. Has he played against him before? Mismatch. No, he hasn't. Yeah, I think it was the season.
He did. At Old Trafford, Ronaldo. Was it at the Emirates?
Was he there?
Was that the Emirates, Tosin? Didn't Cristiano score against Arsenal?
I think so.
But that was the season before he joined.
Oh, that season before Saliba.
Yeah, that's okay. I was thinking that as well. So, but this will be fun. It'll be good. It'll be good. I'm not gonna say Saliba's gonna absolutely skull fuck him.
I'll say it. I'm gonna pocket that bitch. He's going to pocket him, and there won't be enough tears to save him from the irrelevance that he's going to feel when he won't even touch the ball in this game.
But it's going to be hard for him to pocket him when, like, Ronaldo will barely be in the game anyway. Like, he's not going to get the ball. Like, Ronaldo, every time Ronaldo really touches the ball is when he's, like, 50 yards from his goal. Like, he barely he's not the same player anymore where he can actually affect the game nearer to goal unless it's going to be a one-touch finish. It's very, very hard for him to do that now. So, the moment the ball gets there, Saliba's on his ass, bro. Like, it's very obvious. So,
I think real quick on Ronaldo, the sad thing about everything we've said about Ronaldo since this competition started is that we already had these conversations back at the World Cup in Qatar. Yeah.
We had these conversations at Juventus, okay?
We thought we were free, but we're not free, apparently. And Martinez is a coward. That's what's going on here.
The worst part is his fans are just so stubbornly just on it.
Obnoxious.
And it's okay. We'll find out. But England, Switzerland, last game we'll talk about. If Sir Granit Xhaka is fixed, apparently there's like an adductor thing that he's getting a scan on. Apparently his like adductor is fucked or something. I don't know.
He's not missing this game. I don't care what's wrong with him. He'll be out there. Yeah. He will be there.
He's taking all the drugs, guys. He will be there. Like, he's already in Germany and he plays for Bayer Leverkusen. Bro, he's taking all the drugs, bro. Let me just say it again. Leverkusen, he's more juiced to the eyeballs than MVP Russell Westbrook, bro. Like, he's come.
I was gonna say Mesut Ozil, but
he's absolutely not missing that game at all.
No. But listen, man, it's been a fun Euros. Got a couple of days off. Guess what we got tonight as a treat? Brazil Colombia as a treat.
Nice.
Ooh. That's a very nice treat to end the football for a couple of days. So, fellas, y'all got anything you want to add before we get out of here?
Like, subscribe again, guys. Like, we're noticing like the interactions on Twitter, on Instagram, you know, especially a bit on TikTok as well. YouTube, the YouTube comments, you know, they give all of us a good laugh. Keep them coming, and hopefully soon.
I ain't laughing at that shit.
Well, I am at least. Hopefully soon we'll have a very, very, very nice surprise for you guys.
I also had something to add to this as well. Sure. Please, guys, it's free to like and subscribe and comment, like Coach said. So please do that. Yeah. And also thank you guys for your questions about the U.S. Men's National Team. I had a very good time having a therapy session with those guys. So thank you guys for the comments. Appreciate that. For myself, Tosin, we're out. Everyone take it easy. Peace.
It's the Shirtless Plenty Show.